The gospel reading for today comes from the gospel according to Mark. We are in chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 21 through 28. I'm going to read out of the NRSV translation, but I invite you to pick whatever translation or form of Bible you'd like to use. Perhaps you use just a normal old Bible, or you use your phone or a tablet or a computer. I invite you to open that up and read alongside me. So once again, we're in Mark 1. In verses 21 through 28. Hear the reading of God's word. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. None of us want to be uncomfortable. In fact, I would argue we live the majority of our lives in a way in which we avoid it at all costs. Being uncomfortable often means that we are not in control, that we don't have the autonomy we deserve, that we're being stretched and groomed in different ways, and I mean uncomfortable in that way. As a wise youth minister always said, these situations build character. The Spirit of God usually calls us to places where we think we're outnumbered or insufficient. But in that, God is faithful to help guide and lead us. Getting into the uncomfortable nature of following Jesus is exactly what it means to testify to our faith. And this passage can make us feel uncomfortable as we consider the powers that desire to thwart Jesus' ministry. The Gospel of Mark is littered with these cryptic proclamations of Jesus being the promised Messiah. Jesus consistently finds these people confessing who he is, and he asks them to remain silent. Scholars call this the messianic secret, and in today's passage, Jesus begins his ministry with an unclean spirit coming towards him, proclaiming who he is, and what he does is silences the demon, or the unclean spirit, or the possessed man. And Mark is known for its quick and fast narrative, for its loopholes, its up and down roller coaster of a gospel. And as we look to the beginning of Mark 1, we find that Jesus has been baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, that he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and there was tempted but prevailed. He then hears of John being arrested and he comes up and says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And then he goes and he calls. He calls those to come and follow, to be a part of the ministry. And now, here, Jesus begins to teach in a synagogue, and those sitting in the pews are taken aback by his teaching, but more importantly, by the authority in which he speaks. This is the first public event for Jesus. This is his moment, his kinsay, if you will, where he comes out against evil, against the anti-kingdom, those things wishing to take down Jesus' ministry. And on the Sabbath, he goes into the synagogue. What then can we make of Jesus' sending away with an unclean spirit? How does Jesus bring about life in this harsh situation? And why does this little quick story about this unclean spirit matter at the beginning of Jesus' ministry? I'm sure as I was reading this passage, it made you a little uncomfortable, a little on edge. And we take this passage usually at face value and reason away what's happening, or we fall into that never-ending pit, wishing to explain the forces of the enemy, and we obsess over these different demonic things just so we can have power over them in our minds. Either way, this passage is hard for us to make sense of, to rationalize the narrative at hand, and that's the very problem with this passage and the way that we talk about it. Because it exists outside of our scientific understanding, and we have to acknowledge our own inability to understand it perfectly, so we just skip to the ending, labeling this man here damaged goods. Jesus had come to Capernaum to begin his ministry, which is the proclamation that the kingdom of God is entering into the world. That like at the baptism, heaven was pulled, ripped apart for the Spirit of God to come, for Jesus to proclaim a new way to live. And we have to acknowledge that there are things in this world that wish to separate us from the love of God. This possessed man needs freedom from what's inhibiting him. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, this is a consistent theme that contrary forces and characters wish to derail or discredit Jesus' ministry. Things that do not wish for the reign of God's kingdom. And here, cue the forces, or the unclean spirit, that wishes to make Jesus stumble as he teaches in the synagogue. And that's what's at stake. The kingdom of God and the lure of inward focus. Yet another troubling point of this passage is that the Spirit comes into the synagogue during instruction and teaching. Is no place sacred? Is no place protected? What prowls about? What role has the crowd played? Have they known this man? Have they tried to help him? Or was this just one of those unspoken moments among those in Capernaum? Did the crowd always just divert their gaze when he came around? Could he have been overlooked and labeled as an outcast before anyone knew what was going on or tried to help? Then, hanging on to the moment of Jesus' teachings, all seems to pause. Heaviness settles between the period and the first word of the next sentence, and I imagine those necks snap to the side as this man with an unclean spirit bursts towards the crowd, shouting, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Even the powers of the anti-kingdom proclaim who Jesus is. And that question, it lingers. It kind of floats about in the air. What have you to do with us? What then are you here to do, Jesus, Son of God? The very problem with this passage in our world is the control that we don't seem to have. So many things wish to fill and use us. It's that little whisper that comes briefly and quickly to demonize those across the political aisle. Instead of engaging in conversation, we shout out, hoping that our voices are louder than others. And then when it comes time, we rarely concede when we're misguided or wrong. reclaim political differences as a way of excusing ourselves from hard conversations and situations. It's easy to have a scapegoat, isn't it? We all have an issue that we hold dear, but we have a hard time upholding the same ethic along other lines. The feeling comes again when we relish in excessive pampering and privilege and then shame the unsheltered and the jobless for not changing their situation. We can be in the crowd and in the pews when it comes to finally having in-person worship, but we're not encouraged to live for the kingdom in the world. We are taken a hold of by conspiracy theories and self-righteousness instead of heeding the calling of the Sermon on the Mount. We write in big, bold letters on poster board, "Jesus saves," without being saved, or admitting our own racist stances while claiming injustice doesn't exist. Being uncomfortable is not always a choice, and yet it's in those moments we seem to grow. Our faith is stretched, and we focus on Christ and not the sounds wishing around us, engulfing us, wishing to take hold, to possess us, if you will. Like those in the crowd at the synagogue, we're happy to ignore the need around us, saying, "We just don't know what to do." Had anyone reached out to this man before? Did they roll their eyes like we do, saying, "Ugh, that person always brings that up"? Countless times, we don't see that this man is actually in need of healing. Instead, we equate his situation to his own sinfulness. It's easy to blame him, to blame it on sin. That way, we can just label people around us. We can chalk it up to his fault, especially when those struggle with afflictions of addiction and mental health struggles and homelessness. But Scripture in this passage never says that it's because of sin that this man has an unclean spirit. He's possessed from forces that instead want to distract from the kingdom of God, want to distract and take away from Jesus' teaching. Yet there's hope here too. We can hold out hope because this passage tells us of the very authority that Jesus has. True to the Gospel of Mark, power and healing shows up in unexpected ways and unorthodox matters. Those listening to Jesus' teachings begin to realize that he's not teaching like those scribes, that this Jesus spoke with authority in his teaching, and on the Sabbath, no less. And when approached by the unclean spirit, it calls to him, "Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." A human and a heavenly title are given, perhaps so that unclean spirit can name who Jesus is, could have just a little power over him because that spirit knows the truth about Jesus. And Jesus rebukes him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." Quick and firm words of authority. Jesus shows that he has power not only over creation, but dominion over things that wish to destroy. And as Dr. David Garland writes, most would take steps to remove the troublemaker from the place of worship, but Jesus moves to deliver the troubled man. He takes on the challenge to love fiercely, to call out what's wrong. And despite the attempts of the world to separate us from the love of God, it cannot. Paul clearly states in Romans 8, in one of my favorite parts of Scripture, Paul writes after this lengthy, long, boring argument that many have fought over, he says these words, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus' power is exercised over the unclean spirit as the man convulses and cries out in a loud voice coming out of him. Jesus isn't just some popular healer with essential oils or promises of a juice cleanse. The power of the kingdom of God is at hand, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus teaches something important in the moment. He shows that what he has done here is prove that the kingdom of God is near. Not only is this man made free from the forces of the adversary, but he's restored into his community. There's healing to be had. There's power in the name of Jesus. And God works in ways that we cannot perceive, but are invited to participate in. The good news is that the power of the Spirit that came over Jesus in his baptism, or as Caroline Lewis says, the Holy Spirit possessed Jesus. That Spirit has been given to us, that those of us that proclaim that Jesus is Lord and give our allegiance not to others but to the kingdom and power of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? In our struggles and fight, Jesus stands with us, telling them to be silent. He teaches us to live in a new way, a way that honors God and cares for our neighbor. And in that, we find restoration and relationship with God through Jesus. And the chasm is bridged. Mercy abides. The grace that is shown on the cross meets us on the road. Maybe we're not just in the crowd amazed, but perhaps we're someone who needs healing. Jesus redeems us from ourselves, offering us undeserved mercy because of his great love shown through the cross. For we have a Savior that cares about those little details and the big things of our lives. David Luce summarizes the passage like this. He says, Mark shares this story of confrontation and freedom first, because it's at the heart of the gospel story. He tells, and the gospel story we're invited to live into and through. Find healing today. Find hope in this hour, because all power and authority come from Jesus Christ. And maybe today is the day in which we need to ask Jesus, what have you to do with us? He's come to confront what wants to ensnare. He's come to liberate us from sin and lead us through the wilderness. And as the crowd realized what was happening, they knew something was a little different. Jesus went viral in Galilee because of his teaching. As they looked around and said to one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority?" The Gospel of Mark begins with an epic showdown of sorts, with Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One, still standing. Could this be the Messiah? It must be, for even unclean spirits obey him. In a time in which it's so easy to ignore the promises of new life and healing, know that this day, God is still working. The powers and principalities of this world will not prevail. It is our call to step into the story, to either ask to be exercised or to proclaim again who Jesus is to us. There's still hope. The power of God through the Holy Spirit invites us into the uncertainty and excitement of following Jesus. Indeed, Christ has come not to destroy us, his creation, but to reconcile us even if it's something uncomfortable. And as often recited or found in many a millennial home, a comfort place is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.